He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, just in his righteousness alone, flawless stand before the throne.
Christ our cornerstone, weak made strong, the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Christ our
So if you were thinking to yourself, if I had that, Could you get up in the morning a little bit easier? A little easier to get your day going? A lot of times I think, you know, something's off. Something's just not feeling right. You'll probably relate to this. I just have too much connection. I've got too many friends. I've got too many people that I'm talking to during the day, and I don't know what's wrong. Something's not right. No, we don't typically live that way, and we're going to talk today a little bit about why. We're going to talk about why that video causes something to well up in you. Something within you just makes you sit up straighter in your chair when you watch that video. So, quick recap, however, we've in the last 4 weeks been in the Core Values of Adventure series, which we like to call our How to Get Life to the Full, John 10:10b, for I've come to give them that they may have life and have it to the full. And 3 weeks ago, Randy talked about discipleship, which is what it looks like to closely and completely walk with God. What does it look like to have a relationship with God that is so deep and so much what we were designed for? And then warfare. What is it that's set against that? The next week he talked about what is it that the enemy does not want us to have, and what are the tactics that he employs? But more importantly, what victory we have in that? That Jesus and the cross gave us victory over warfare and gave us victory over Satan's plan to keep us from God. And last week, Jeff talked about healing, the stream of healing. What does it look like in our lives to go to God and have him minister to our hearts, to bring transformation, to bring restoration to those areas in our lives that we have given ground to the enemy? And today, we are going to be talking about community. What does it look like to live in community, both with God and with each other? But before we do that, we need to warm up a little bit, I think. Any of you a little chilly in here? Time for a warm-up exercise. So, but first of all, Wes, could I have you come up just for a minute? Wes has got this look of surprise on his face, like, this Wes? Yes, that Wes. So come on up. I want to have you just kind of come over here with me for a minute. And I've got a special seat for you, so go ahead and have a seat right there for a minute. Okay, perfect. You comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, just hang out there for a minute. So the rest of you, go ahead and get up for a minute, and I just want you to greet each other. Just say good morning. Let's loosen up a little bit. Welcome each other. Kirk, good to see you today.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm Dave.
Good to meet you, Dave. Nice to have you today. Jim, as always, good to see you.
You want me to ignore Wes or go greet him? I want to let you talk to Landon.
Yeah, you're fun. You're fun that way. All right, so let's go ahead and have a seat. Hey, Robin. All right. Good morning. Yeah, I am cold, see? All right, so let's go ahead and wrap up here. Back to our seats. Back to our spots. I know we could do this all day. I would love to do this all day. Maybe we should just make service a meet and greet time. If we have food, then we could really make it great. If anybody brought a picnic, we could distribute it out, maybe some loaves and some bread or something, but we don't have that, so we're going to go ahead and move on. All right, so, yeah, we're talking about community a little bit. And oh, Wes, hi. I forgot Wes is over here. Yes, Wes. Come on, you can come on up. Thank you, Wes, for hanging out with me up on the stage. Or actually, I wasn't here. I was greeting these people. So actually, hang out for a minute. So when I put you there and we started doing this, what did you think?
I thought everybody looked like they were having a good time.
All yeah.
Nice conversation. First, one particular lady came up and said hi to me. It felt very special.
That made a difference, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
A few others came up.
A little uncomfortable, though, up to that point.
Yeah, it was.
Up here by yourself.
Yeah,
Yeah, now you know how I feel this morning, right? Thanks, Wes. Appreciate it. Yeah, it is uncomfortable when we find ourselves alone, when we're isolated, when we're in a place where we just kind of are not part of, we feel like we're not part of something, right? We feel like we're not part of a group. We feel like we're not in community. We feel like we are always on the outside looking in. And I don't know about you, but I have felt that way many, many, many times in my life, that I'm not really part of that. There's stuff going on and connections being made, but not really me. And thank you, you few hearty souls that ventured up here to greet Wes and bring him in. You, I think, demonstrated much of what we're going to be talking about this morning. And to kick that off, I want to talk a little bit about why it is that we feel that way. Why do we feel isolated? And why is it that we desire and crave community? Why do things like that video we watched when we started stir us? What are the desires? Matthew 28:19, we pretty much all are familiar with this. The Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But the second half of that is critical to what we're talking about this morning, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about something that is intrinsic to the nature of God. Quick question for you. How many times is the word Trinity used in the Bible?
Zero.
Good. We got the Bible scholars here. No, no time is the word Trinity used in the Bible. But the concept of Trinity is everywhere in the Bible. It's everywhere in verses like this. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Again, in that verse, we have the Father sending the Spirit through Jesus, the Son's sacrifice. Again, Trinity of fellowship. And one of my all-time favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Don't you love that? When you think of Jesus, you think of grace and you think of sacrifice and you think of what he's done for us. And when you think of God, kind of what's the overarching word that you kind of think of when you think of God? God is love. But I love the third part of this, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This concept that there is a fellowship within the nature of God that God is sharing with us. We were designed for community. The nature of God is perfect community. That is who he is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we were made in that image. Genesis 1:26 says, Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let who? Us. Make man in our image? Absolutely. Us, our. God is talking about community. He's talking about community, and we're designed in that image. Thank you, Susan. If you have your sermon note sheets on the chairs there, you can use those to follow along the little underlined words. For those of you who are detail-oriented, those will be your roadmap this morning. So you have those there for you. So, yeah, we're designed in that image. We're designed in the image of community. We're designed to live it and experience it. When I was young, grew up attending church, small community church. My grandfather, as most of you know, was a pastor, and it was incredibly fulfilling time for me when I was little. And I remember one time we were building a new fellowship hall. And this is back in the days when you didn't have to spend 3 years getting permits to do 2 months' worth of work. It was we'll just go ahead and start doing this. And all the guys in the church, the men in the church, were involved. And I remember Dad was doing a lot of the wiring, and they're putting conduit in. And just, you know, boy and construction site. Enough said. Perfect combination. And I lived just through that experience, just loving that. But what I really loved about it, though, was watching all the guys working together and being a part of that and being called up and being called into that. And that, to me, just felt life-giving. It felt absolutely life-giving being a part of that community. And I think it looked like, to me, what God must have meant when he designed community. It really was. And it's kind of, it's the experience, as I even think about that, it's the experience that I had that gives me a taste of what community, I think, was designed to be. I want to take a look at Acts 2, which gives us a picture of scriptural community. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Love that picture of community. So when you read that, when you hear that, what's the general tone? What are some takeaways that you have from that about what community looks like in their lives? Absolutely. Together. They spent time together, definitely.
Taking care of each other's needs.
Taking care of each other's needs, yeah. Definitely. I'm sorry? No.
But I'm just saying, putting their needs before your needs.
Yeah, putting their selfless, yeah. Putting their needs before yours, that's good. Definitely. Glad and generous hearts. I mean, don't you just kind of get the fruits of the Spirit? You just kind of see that being played out in real time, right? You know, there's peace, there's love, there's forbearance, there's this posture of the heart that is just good when they're living in this type of community. And that's really a picture of how we're designed to live. It's a picture of our relationship with God, and it's a reflection of his nature. It's a reflection of the nature of God that we talked about earlier. So, question for you. How many of you would say that for most of your life, most of the time, you experience that? Yeah, kind of what I thought. Yeah, we don't experience that often in our lives, honestly. As I grew older and experienced a little bit more in life, probably about 10 or 12 years old, there were some relational challenges that were going on, and we moved to a different church, and I was in youth group. Decided to go to Wednesday night youth group. Loved it. Great. It's great Bible teaching youth group. Boys Brigade. Any of you ever part of that? Boys Brigade and Pioneer Girls? No? Wow, okay. I don't think they have that anymore. But so it's kind of like a boys Awana and a girls Awana type thing. And so I'm in that, and one of the Wednesday nights, I'm at this thing, and I realized that, and it's over in Bellevue, and I'm from Duval, so there's kind of this culture clash a little bit. But I remember I felt something. I was actually getting spit on. I turned around and I looked, and there's this group of boys, and they're literally spitting on me on my back. And I remember in that moment deciding, you know what? Community is not worth it. I'm probably not worthy of entering into community. Church community is not worth it. Why would I want to subject myself to this? And I made some agreements about community and decided, you know what? I don't think that I'm really going to invest in that anymore. And I didn't go. I was done with that. Sunday morning church was great, but I am not going to dig deeper in community because people are pretty much the same all over. And actually, for me, I decided that my friends that I went to school with that didn't go to church were actually worth more to invest in than my church community was. And I lived for a long time that way. And it's why we live with discomfort in the area of community in our lives. Because I guarantee you, as I'm telling that story, every one of you is probably reliving something that you've experienced in your life that has pushed you away from community. Some sort of relational issue or rift or something that's landed for you, maybe rightly, maybe, you know, community's not perfect. Certainly, there will be challenges in community, but I guarantee you that at some point in your life, you've experienced something that has moved you away from community instead of towards it. And it's because we live in a fallen world that engaging in community will be messy. Guarantee you, it doesn't matter who we are or how we try, it will at some point be messy. I love this quote by Chesterton: the family is like a little kingdom, and like most other little kingdoms, is generally in a state of something resembling anarchy. Very true. You're probably thinking about your own families at some points. Yeah, it can seem like anarchy, definitely. Last summer, we were on a mission trip in Brazil, and we spent, I'm thinking like 30 hours on a banana boat. And this boat is probably from that wall to that wall, maybe, long, and probably half this stage width, maybe two-thirds. And there was 11 of us on this boat. So picture, and Milton, Linda, you were there, and yeah, Abby was there. And so picture this boat. We're on this muddy little tributary leading into the Amazon in the middle of nowhere. On this boat, there's no chairs, nothing comfortable. We're sitting on the floorboards of the bottom of the boat. 11 people jammed on this little boat in 95-degree weather and 98% humidity for almost two straight days. That's a picture of community. That's a picture of what it looks like to live in community. And I think we probably spent part of that time retreating to our own corners of the boat, because you live in community like that for a while, you're going to eventually feel like you need a little alone time, a little space. But community is like that. It really is. It's and it's potentially messy because of that dynamic. And as we talked about earlier in the warfare week, Satan will take advantage of this. Guarantee you he will take advantage of it. He's going to push you to agreements like I made about community when I was a kid. And he will try to isolate you, and he will try to cut you out of community. And he will try to make you believe that community is not something that you need, and it's not something that's important to your life. Guarantee you. You've seen the National Geographic type specials. You got the wildebeest herd. The lions are over here stalking them. Which one do they get every time? Yeah, it's the one off by himself. You're watching those shows, you're thinking, no, don't, go back. But they never do. They never figure it out. Fortunately, we can, because we have God directing us back into that. That is the exciting news about this. The exciting news is we have hope. We have restoration with God through Jesus, through the cross, through community and relationship with God. So as we look at our Acts passage, there's a couple principles that I want to take a look at. A couple of principles as to how to live life in community. First of all, effective community must be small. When you read that passage in Acts, you kind of get a sense of what that looked like. They're breaking bread in their homes. And just read through the Gospels. How many people did Jesus walk around the desert with and around through the towns with? Come on, we know it. 12, absolutely. 12. He didn't walk around with a couple hundred people following, right? He walked around and he had a small band of close disciples. Was it messy? Yes, it was. Read the Gospels. It was very messy. But it was a small group of closely knit people living their lives together. It's how Jesus did that. And it's how the early believers in Acts did it. And how can we possibly live together in community unless we have a small enough group to be able to fight for each other? My sister and brother-in-law work in Southern California at a church of like 4,000, something like that. But they have small, they call them life groups there. They have small life groups, and they live community with those groups. That's where they really connect in. That's where they really experience community, is with these families, close-knit families, that break bread together, that live closely together. Again, breaking bread in their homes They receive their food with glad and generous hearts. Community drives relationship. Small, intimate community drives relationship. And because of that, effective community must be intimate. You must know each other to really invest in community. So many times you'll meet with people and you get the conversation that goes like this. It's, hey, how was work this week for you? Oh, good. You know, we had a couple new deals that we brought in. And how about you? Yeah, I finished a program I'm working on. And, oh, good. And got any projects going on with your house? And, yeah, got a new bathroom remodel. Oh, cool. And that's kind of what community oftentimes looks like. But it's not the design God has for us. God designed us to live a life together with him and through him at a much deeper level than that. But we have to have a small, intimate community to really to do that, to know that. Acts 4:32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. And you have to live that way to understand what it really means to do that. So, as I kind of spent time living in those I don't want community agreements, God gave me opportunity to really step into a journey to redeem and heal that time in my life. And I remember the first church that Cindy and I, second church we attended, but first church we spent much time in. It was a smaller church, but there was four of us, four couples, and we started engaging in community that really looked like that. And none of us had any kids, so we kind of had a lot of freedom. We just kind of do whatever. And I remember just, I think every weekend for a long time, for years, we would just, we'd do everything together. We were just Bible studies together, having fun together, dinners together. We lived life together. And for me, that really showed me that, okay, community is possible. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe there's more. Maybe the agreements I've made about community and church are not necessarily true. And as we pressed into that, invested in that, and really experienced what God had for us in that, it began to heal me in those areas. It began to open my mind and my heart to the idea, what if there's more? And that was such a significant thing. And it felt to me like that passage in Acts. I mean, really, just thinking right now back to that, it was just this time of just incredible connection that we had. And then we were the first ones to have a baby, so we had all these aunts and uncles for Stephanie, our firstborn, and we'd pack her along, and everybody's like, oh, let me hold her. And I mean, it was just cool. And it was what community, I think, is designed for. It's why we were put in community. But you're going to have to fight for it. You absolutely will have to fight for community, both to get it and, more importantly, to keep it. Because, again, we live in a world at war. We live in a world with an enemy who absolutely does not want you to have this, doesn't want you to experience this. And it is under assault. Because it's designed by God, it's under assault by the enemy. And the only way that you're going to experience community, the only way that you're going to actually make it work is one thing. There's one posture of the heart that will make community work. So to take a look at that, I want to look at a clip from The Hobbit, the first Hobbit. Actually, not the original first Hobbit, which was really a bad, like, made-for-TV movie, but the first recent Hobbit. Most of you seen that movie? Yes? No? Hobbit? No? If not, I'm not going to tell you the story because you probably don't care. You would have seen the movie. But this particular clip is Bilbo is this little hobbit guy, and he's hooked up with a bunch of dwarves who are trying to go on a mission to reclaim their homeland, their lost gold, their lost way of life. And so they're on this mission, and they've been underground being pursued by goblins and orcs and all the bad people. But they've escaped out of the mountain, and they're running, kind of regrouping a little bit after this. So that's where the scene picks up. Let's take a look at that.
Oh, 7, 8, 9, that's 10, Fili Kili, that's 12, and Bamba, that makes 13. Miss Bilbo, where is our hobbit? Where is our hobbit?
Curse the halfling! Now he's lost.
I thought he was with Dorry.
Don't blame me.
And where did you last see him?
I think I saw him slip away when I first collared us.
What happened exactly? Tell me.
I'll tell you what happened. Master Baggins saw his chance and he took it. He has thought of nothing but his soft bed and his warm hearth since first he stepped out of his door. We will not be seeing our hobbit again. He is long gone.
No, he isn't.
Beckett, I've never been so glad to see anyone in my life.
Bilbo, we've given you up.
How on earth did you get past the goblins?
How indeed.
Oh, what does it matter? He's back.
It matters. I want to know. Why did you come back?
Look, I know you doubt me. I know you always have. And you're right, I often think of Bag End. I miss my books. And my armchair, my garden. See, that's where I belong. That's home. And that's why I came back, because you don't have one. A home. It was taken from you. But I will help you take it back if I can.
Such a cool picture of community, and such a realistic telling picture of community. What's their first reaction when he's missing? Curse the halfling. Well, wait a minute, you were supposed to be... No, don't blame me. Instantly, there's just this doubt, and there's condemnation of Bilbo, and there's all these postures, and they started falling apart pretty quickly. But transformational moment. And did you notice Bilbo was standing behind the tree and he heard all that stuff. He heard everything they were saying about him. You were not, he's not really interested in this. All he wants is his preacher comforts and his home and his soft bed and everything else. Transformational moment for him. He could either turn around, walk away and leave, or invest back in community. And he chose to invest back in. And it was kind of cool. I mean, they even had the music. Did you notice the music? It's kind of this ominous music, and then all of a sudden he comes from around the tree, and it's light and nice. And because Bilbo exhibited something that's critical to community working, and it was selflessness. Selfless heart posture. And that made all the difference. Bilbo lived out of a Christ-like posture, and it immediately started transforming the group. And it's the only way that we can live in community and make it work. We have to live our lives in community with a Christ-like heart posture. It's how we were designed, and it is absolutely critical to this. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Absolute picture of selflessness, right? Jesus came, made himself nothing, emptied himself, gave his very life for us. And was community for him up to that point easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Jesus was persecuted and pursued by Pharisees and everybody else in the world was trying to just stop him in his tracks. They were doing everything, but Jesus pushed into it because he had a larger purpose. He had a larger purpose in his life. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we can live with that type of posture and community because we have restoration and freedom through Christ. And Galatians is all about that freedom. But we have to live with that heart posture to make community work. Selflessness, self-focus, trying to fix everybody else's problems, condemnation, self-righteousness will destroy community. Absolutely destroy community. I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to experience that, but we can live with a Christ-like heart posture. We have it available to us because of the sacrifice Jesus made for us. So we've talked about what community could look like, what it should look like, but why? Why do we care? Why do we need to live in community? What is it about community that a Christ-centered, Christ-like community is designed to accomplish? What do you think? What are we here together for? Fellowship? Yeah. What else?
Encourage each other in Christ.
Definitely. Yeah.
Make disciples.
Yeah. Matthew 28. Yeah. Learn who we are, what our identity is. Yeah, absolutely. I think that community has two mission objectives. I think discipleship and evangelism. Absolutely critical objectives for community. You've heard the verse, guys, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are designed, back to 3 weeks ago when we talked about discipleship and walking with God, we're designed to support and fight and encourage each other into that journey. It's what community is designed to do. But we're also designed to live in community that fights with each other. We're designed to make disciples. That is part of something that we're here for, something larger in our lives. Now you're probably thinking, okay, how can I do that? Because we're in community here. This is Sunday morning. We love this, right? Don't we love coming Sunday mornings? We get to greet each other and spend time together and talk with each other and catch up a little bit. But at some point, we're going to walk out of here. I'm going to walk down from here. We're all going to get out of our seats. We're going to walk out the door. What do we do with community at that point? How do we do that? How do we accomplish those mission objectives when we're walking down the aisle and we've got to take care of this, right? Stand up. You're going to help me with this because I can't do this by myself, right? So, okay. So Stanley and I are going to walk arm in arm, right? We're going to walk out of here. This is a little weird, isn't it?
Am I released?
But we're going to walk out of here together, right? I'm going to just take community with me. No, I'm not. As much as I love you, Stanley, I'm not going to live every minute of my life with you all week.
You're missing out.
I am missing out. You can go ahead and sit down. I think your wife wants you back. No, we're not going to do that. But the cool thing is we have modern technology to help us a little bit in this because next week I'm going to go meet with somebody from my neighborhood that doesn't know Jesus. I'm going to have coffee with him, and he's saying, Jerry, I've got some questions about Jesus. Can we talk? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up my cell phone, and I'm going to call. Now, Stanley's younger. I might text him. I'm going to message Stanley in some way or another, and I'm going to say, hey, Stanley, I got this meeting. Would you pray for me? Would you cover me in that, both now and here's the time I'm meeting? Would you be in prayer for me? And Stanley's going to say, absolutely. And I know that because Stanley's done that for me. And then, possibly, I might get done with this meeting and I might just call Stanley up and say, you know what? I'm discouraged. Didn't go well. Guy wasn't receptive. Didn't want to hear anything I was saying. I'm not even sure if it's worth doing this. I don't know. I invested in this, and it's just not going well. And you know what Stanley's going to do? What do you think? He's going to encourage me. He's going to pray for me. He's going to fight for me. Community fights for and with each other. And that is how we were designed. The early believers in Acts had a purpose larger than themselves. When we read those passages that we read earlier, they had a purpose larger than themselves, and they were community with a mission. Working together, fighting together, community with a mission. And what's really amazing back then, especially, which we don't really experience to that any extent like that in this society, in our culture, they knew they might be killed for it. They knew that any day that they proclaimed the name of Jesus, may be their last day. But they still, as a community, pressed into that mission. And I guarantee you their posture every morning was not, Jesus, what can you do for me today? Their posture every morning was, Jesus, what can we do for you today to accomplish your mission in community together? That's how we were designed. It's how we were designed to live. Last week or week before last, I was at a church conference, and all week long, one of the pastors there was from back east, and he was talking about a church he planted 10 years ago. They started with 150 people. Today, they have about 2,200 people 10 years later. Cool statistic, right? Amazing statistic is almost 1,200 of those 2,200 are brand new believers in that 10-year period. 1,200 new members of the family of God because of that missional community. Small missional platoons fighting together to bring Jesus to the world. 1,200 people. One church, 10 years. So the point of all that is our communities must live with a missional urgency. We have to live with an urgency to see God's kingdom established. We have to see that. It's what community is designed for. And the way we do that is fighting with each other and fighting for each other. I love this quote, "All great accomplishments for the kingdom of God have been done through the power of a community that's keeping its focus on Christ." It's what we're designed for, and it's what we can do, and it's why things like that video stir you, because that is your commission, that is your design, it's who you are. Challenge for you this week, read the book of Acts. Just pick up the Bible, read the book of Acts. Make that your goal for the week. I know Acts kind of gets, it's kind of wedged between the Gospels and all the letters to the churches who are kind of messing up a little bit. Read Acts. It will give you a picture of what community can look like and should look like. It will give you a picture of what it looks like to sacrifice everything and at the same time gain everything through Christ when you live that way in your life. And if we live out of that posture, if we press into that, we will be an example to this world. We will be an effective force to see this world experience restoration. Guarantee you. So I'm going to pray, and then Jeff's going to finish us up with a few announcements this morning. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your selfless sacrifice to bring us back into community, to bring us into relationship, both with you and with each other, Lord, as part of your family. Father, I just pray that you would give us your heart, your direction. Lord, let us see this world through your eyes. Let us see, Lord, what it is that excites you, because that's what should excite us, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for community. Thank you for this community, Lord, of believers, of brothers and sisters who have come together to pursue you and to pursue this world, Lord. We just thank you for that. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. We are going to just have a few announcements. We also have offering coming up here in a minute. I wanted to mention connection cards. If you're visiting this morning, it's great to see you. Glad you came to hang out with us this morning and worship the Lord and dig into the Word. There are connection cards around here. We'd love to know you are here, you are visiting. If you'd like to fill one of those out, you can just put your contact info on there and drop it in the back. We're not going to spam you. But you might get a call to say hello and ask if you have any questions about Adventure Church. You might get an email. Before we go into offering, I wanted to circle back around to an event we had a few weeks ago, which was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And I wanted to share a little bit of my experience with that event and also let you guys know that there's opportunity for you to experience some of that event still through the webcast that it was a live webcast, but it's now available on YouTube. We came here, and through technology, and we talk about community, we're able to be connected with believers, churches all over the world in the same moment to be praying together on the same topic. And also they had interviews with people who have been through persecution, some speakers as well with some passion for the subject. I found myself when the event was offered, Kathy Ulrich really inspired that with her passion for the persecuted and what the Word teaches us as believers, how to relate to those brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, was I don't really know what to do with that. I'm kind of uncomfortable because I don't know, you know, should I feel guilty? How do I interact? How can I make a difference where this is happening? And so I wanted to come to be educated more about it and understand more, which is what I experienced through the event. If you find yourself relating to how I felt going into it, you know, remembering verses now, like we looked at a few weeks ago, Hebrews 13, where it talks about posturing yourself in a place of being with those who are in prison, it talks about. Or acting as though you are being mistreated along with those brothers and sisters who are being mistreated. That's the level of community and connection that we're called to have with those who are being persecuted. I mean, there's people in the world who, for this act right here, I am in possession of this Bible, is a death sentence. Okay? Those are our brothers and sisters around the world. So how do we connect with them? I did not experience this event as a guilt trip. What I got out of it was a greater understanding of, from firsthand, from those being persecuted, how we can be praying for them. Taking that to the Lord, I got a fresh look at what I can be doing here and now to be helping them. One of the things is, the Lord said to me, every time somebody is martyred for me, the value of my blood is understood at a deeper level. Okay? The precious blood of Jesus is understood at a new and greater level every time somebody says, I choose death over renouncing Christ. And it's happening every day by the thousands. So God basically said, take that value and cash it in your life, Jeff. Every day we encounter those who do not know Christ, do we treat that blood as precious as these people are? So it can be right where you're at, stepping into that. Encourage you to go to, if you actually just look in your bulletin, if you didn't get a bulletin, there should still be a stack of them in the back. It says on there, you go to YouTube and it says the wordage to type in there to watch this webcast. It's recorded, obviously, but really good. So I wanted to circle back to that. Also let you know, Kathy Ulrich has brought some of her own books and resources, and they'll be on the table outside when you leave, that she would love to just, she's not selling anything, but she'd love to loan those out if you want to engage at a deeper level on that topic. So ushers, if you want to come forward, we're going to take our offering. And you know, if you're visiting our community this morning, don't feel obligated like you have to give something. This is our commitment as a church family to pool our resources together to build the kingdom of God here in Duval and around the world. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your provisions. And we do this as an act of worship to say, no, God, you've got our backs. You've got us covered, and you provide even more. You provide abundantly. And so we trust you, and we give these offerings over. Lord, would you, by your Spirit, make them do so much more? God, by your power and build your kingdom, Lord, and continue to work in our hearts as we operate with open hands, that we would reflect your generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can just pass those along through your section there, and they'll pick them up in the back. A couple other things just want to draw attention to. We had an event this last Friday night, which was a MOPS movie night. MOPS is Mothers of Preschoolers, the ministry that we have that meets here on every other Thursday. And it was an awesome event, and we just wanted to highlight the community that was created through that. We have mentor moms, older moms, who are interacting with and helping younger moms in that season of life. And so it's really cool to create these events where we can create community, an opportunity for community, and then invite people into that. And so MOPS is doing just an awesome job. Just want to thank anyone who's involved with MOPS and was involved with that event for creating these opportunities for the community to come in and understand what relationship is at a deep level with God. So way to go on that. Duval Christmas tree lighting, just another reminder, put that on your calendar for that evening, Friday, December 5th. We, Adventure Church, wants to have a big presence there because, again, community keeps coming up as a theme this morning. If you've ever been to the Christmas tree lighting, Duval loves these events. Okay, the community here in Duval, whether it's the Duval Days or the Christmas tree lighting, people come out in droves to be together, to experience an event. And we want to have a presence there to bring joy to that event and also opportunities for conversation and relationship, which can lead to sharing Christ with them. But we want to do this event in a way that gives opportunity for everybody to be involved. So there will be opportunity for you to be involved in the things we're going to be doing there. More to come on that, so stay tuned. One more announcement is the men's retreat is next weekend. So this coming Friday night, Saturday, and then around noon Sunday, it'll wrap up. If you have not signed up for that yet, or you're still trying to decide if you want to go or not, just a suggestion, take it to the Lord and ask him what you're supposed to do. Instead of just trying to go, oh, should I go, should I not? I'm worried about this. I got apprehensions. I don't know how details. Just ask the Lord and then trust and obey whatever he tells you to do. There will be sign-ups in the back. Yeah, thank you. There'll be sign-ups in the back. Who's going to be doing the sign-ups? Okay. So you can see Dave here, and he'll help you get signed up for the men's retreat. Yes, so you can sign up and pay on our website, adventurecommunitychurch.com, as well. Don't miss it. I can guarantee you, if you don't go for any other reason than it's just total conflict and you just can't make it, you're going to be talking to the guys who come back, and you're going to be going, dang, maybe next year. You're going to wish you went. So just encourage you with that. And one other thing I forgot about is just we highlight on Communion Sundays that we also have another offering, which is called our care offering. So it's a special pool of money that we keep separate from everything else. Doesn't get used for just the running of the church, for salary, for lights, and all the different things that we need to make the church run. It's set aside for people who are in need in our community and who maybe have a car breakdown or need to some rent money or need just they're in a bind and they need a hand. We want them to experience the love of Christ, so we collect a fund, and we keep that called the Care Fund, and there's a box on the back table there. If you feel led to drop something in there, that would be awesome. So with that, you guys have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week.